ESPN sources the NBA has opened an investigation into the Philadelphia 76ers for possible tampering and early contact centered on franchise's summer free agency class of Harden, PJ Tucker, and Danielle House. Sixers have begun cooperating with League on Probe, story soon, this of course from Woj. Expected to pursue circumstances surrounding Harden's declining $47 million option to sign a 1+1 that cuts salary to $33 million. And gave team more flexibility to sign Tucker and House. Some has wondered if another deal was already in place for future, which of course it was, which is against CBA rules. Not sure how, I mean, it's funny, right? I'm not sure how much anybody really cares. Are we super scared of the Sixers? But, I mean, I'm guessing this is 34 minutes ago. I mean, it's just one of those things. Somebody else complained, so here we are, right? Silver doesn't manipulate too much from behind the scenes, so somebody complains and here we go, but they don't seem to bury the stuff that they should bury, and they don't seem to be proactive about any of this stuff. But it's not just the Bucks, so that's fun. Hopefully they, you know, dock them 1,000 picks. So we're going to jump back into the interview with the old Bucks therapy guys. I still don't remember, and actually we were talking back channel, I still don't remember actually what else was said, but pretty decent feedback privately about this. And again, if you send me a DM, you gotta let me know that I can read it. If not, it's kind of a weird thing. So I end up referencing all, it's just better to kind of generally make this kind of stuff public. You know, it helps out the show. Just publicly say, ask a question or retweet it with a question, that helped a little bit. So we do have one. Again, I'm not sure if I could. Don't want to use this one. I think I can read most of this one. I won't say who it's from. It says, back to the feedback, which I think you appreciate, which of course I do. I guess I'm glad you don't pod daily or even weekly because I might not keep up otherwise. As it stands, Tatonia World is still rather unique in Bucks World. And you most always keep me wanting more. Well, thank you very much for saying that. Even if our musical tastes and experience are obviously wildly different, I 100% enjoy. Look, man, this is the kind of message I like. I 100% enjoy the beats you incorporate. I haven't even seen Black Panther yet. My bad, he says. Duh. You should watch the first half of it and then turn it off. And I'm generally disinterested in the MCU. But those tunes you sampled in were fire, 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 three fire emojis. You always killed the pod soundtrack. Man, that's what we're trying to do. So thanks, man. I'll check back in a few months with another long DM. No, we're here for the long DMs. I'm not super sure I can use the rest of these, so I won't say too much about that. But yeah, appreciate the feedback. If you want to send something longer to Tony World, at Gmail is where you can send that stuff. Somebody was look, it doesn't matter who it is. People were kind of critical that, hey, there's not enough Bucks talk anymore at this point. And so what about Brogdon to the Celtics? Or what about Inglis to the Bucks? Here's kind of what I think. Here's what I think this podcast is. You're getting, hopefully, my intelligent reaction to games and stuff, and other than that, or you can certainly think my dumb reaction to stuff. But I'm not gonna, if I don't have a strong opinion, I'll just tell you I don't have a strong opinion. Like the George Hill thing, still, I think we all kind of had a feeling it maybe wasn't gonna work, or it felt kind of weird, George and Wes. George Hill could have worked, it just didn't. It, you know, my opinion, right? It could have been the George Hill really, really worked and Wes was washed. It turned out it was kind of the other way around. Maybe it'll flip next year. Maybe Hill will be gone. I tend to worry about big things first and then kind of go in order. Inglis, some people, again, I think people, some people really wanted to get out in front that this was just a dumb signing and not enough, but really those are two different kind of statements. It may not be enough, but I'm just not sure. Maybe he's done too. But I don't know, so I'm not going to guess. Same with Marjan. I don't know, so I'm not going to guess. Kendrick was on that company line about Brogdon to the Celtics. If he flips a game, it's worth it, right? If he can play great one game for him, like in a Marcus Smart kind of fashion, then it's probably worth it. And them getting Brogdon for nothing. Well, he'll be hurt though. He'll be hurt. He's not definitely going to be hurt. He might be hurt. He's an injury prone player. That doesn't mean he's not going to come back and bite us. But it's not our problem. He's a Celtics player. So that's basically all I have to say about that. I think I said a couple weeks ago, and maybe I edited it out. And maybe this is a thing for, I suppose I could do this, but I'm not going to. This may be a thing for Justin Superbuck or somebody else. How come we haven't gotten the alternate Rise trailers yet? Like, we haven't got, like, the horror version of Rise. We haven't got, like, the romantic comedy version of Rise. I always get a chuckle out of those. We haven't seen those yet.
Apparently, there's a Chris Middleton mural somewhere downtown Milwaukee. I saw that today. So, yeah, I guess that means we're just happy with one title. But we're just going to keep them for 15 years, and everybody just has to make their peace. Certainly, I think I've made my peace until the first time he has a seven turnover half or whatever. Like, I think I'm going to be mad once the games start again, but apparently they just haven't figured this out. I did like, now this is a dump, like, you should always, so yes, they're not going to trade Middleton, even though I can't imagine they think it's smart to pay him again. I'm pretty sure I have not talked about him hurting his hand or whatever else too. Shafty and Joe will love me putting this take before the podcast. Why don't I just dust this off too? I don't think anyone's saying this, and nobody wanted to get into it. I don't think I said it on the podcast, and the pod wasn't just cranking a whole lot after the Celtics series. We did some episodes after the Celtics series. I take that back. Pretty disgracefully didn't suit up for Game 7, wouldn't you say? Wouldn't you say? Didn't exactly lose himself in the moment that he owned it. But maybe he was just that hurt that he couldn't play. Maybe it was all a ruse. We know what number 34 would have did. But I guess, you know, wasn't really that important to him. No, just to clarify, I'm not saying he should have played. If he can't play, he can't play. It's pretty much the identifying mark of any true competitor that you go through warm-ups and you suit up. You don't just sit on the sidelines in street clothes if you can play. Maybe he couldn't play, but that was pretty sketch to me in the moment, but I just didn't feel like getting into it. And now I guess his hand is hurt. But we'll see. But yes, you can imagine how many people reached out about the Chris mural. Look, I don't care. I don't care about the Chris mural. And again, yes, we saw the Bucks jersey. Fire, man. Hot fire. Hot fire. Green trim on cream numbers and black and blue. That's what y'all want, right? That, you know, what you accept is what you deserve on some level, or however that saying goes. What's that saying? Yeah. You get the democracy you deserve, or whatever, however that goes. Fine. Enjoy that dumb black. Enjoy. And yes, of course, we know the purple is coming. I wonder if there's a way to find out how many times we'll wear the purple versus everything else. Because I tell you what actually is intriguing. What is interesting is, could we wear the purple in the playoffs, or is that going to be some stupid rule? Because, by the way, completely ridiculous. Like, if you, I'm sure I said this. We played the Hawks in the playoffs. It's ridiculous that the Hawks, just in the playoffs, were wearing a jersey that says MLK. They're not the MLK Hawks,
Right. Like, on a certain point, doesn't that have to get cleared some kind of way? They're not the Martin Luther King team. I don't care what state it is. They're the Atlanta Hawks. But you would think that would open the door. It would only make sense that we should be able to wear the purple in the playoffs, right? I'm sure there'll be some dumb rule or some dumb reason why we can't wear the purple in the playoffs. They're going to wear the purple. This happens every single time. Every single time the Bucks wear something that actually looks good.
Then pretty much everybody, like a high percentage. I mean, these are all still matters of taste. You may not like my taste. When they put out the 1971 jersey for the Mecker year, or even years before when Jennings wore it, and I think Jennings also got to wear the Ghost Deer with Ersan, and Ekpe Udo, I think, was the third man on that graphic. Every time they wear something good, everyone, it gets unanimous, as close as you can come to with unanimous approval. And like I said, I think the 71 Bucks is not my favorite old school Bucks. It's probably not top three. But it's clean. The whites are clean. The red takes a back seat. The green looks great. Blocky kind of Bucks. It looks awesome. The same way the Celtics kind of always look awesome. And every time they do that, and the kind of cute other OG kind of more naturalistic Bengal on the shorts, same thing, right? Every time they do something good, everybody's like, oh yeah, great jerseys. And then they go back to giving us 18 colors and big dumb graphics, and people are like, yeah, hot fire. this'll match some Air Max 95s that I have, so this jersey is great. And it's crazy to me, but whatever. Every time they give us something good, though, like, people recognize, and then they get amnesia, and we're right back to where we started.
People recognize the difference. And, of course, you should not believe any polls that I put out, because it's going to be a self-selecting group of people who either want to agree with me or troll me or whatever the case. When people see something good, they're like, oh, yeah, that's way better. If you give people something bad, then it becomes like this scale where the least aggressively bad of a group of bad options becomes the one that everyone loved, which is why there's still people who like cape up for the Cream City stuff. Yeah. Yes. So to answer your question, I saw the uniforms. You guys can't hurt me anymore. There's nothing else to say about it. We're going to watch the Blue Lives Matter books, and I guess that's fine. I'll probably cut in the episode. I feel like there's a couple other things that I want to say. I'll probably cut in the middle of the episode and clarify something or just add some other little bits or whatever else, but let's listen to the episode. Like I said, again, this is also from last week. This is just the second half, and enjoy.
You want to know the secret to podcasts? The secret to podcasts is people. There's a certain section of lonely men who work a bunch, but they work alone, and they can have headphones.
Can you speak for the lonely men?
I was once that lonely man when I worked night out at third shift by myself in hotels for 5 years. You need something to do. So if you can have headphones in and be listening to podcasts, you want like a friendship simulator. You want to like feel like you're sitting with your boys chopping it up about, you know, any topic. And you do any topic, there's a podcast that's making money that's literally just that. Like three dudes getting drunk in their bedrooms, chopping it up about the Bucks or cryptocurrency or, you know, Marvel Comics or, you know, comedy, you know. And like, you make one of those podcasts, you can find a niche. That was the goal with Bucks Therapy. Was to make like that sort of Bucks pod, because there isn't one like that. There's 8 or 9 Zach Lowe's,
or you know, people trying to be Zach Lowe and not knowing anything. So yeah,
that's right. Like I could tell you what I know about the Bucks from reading Twitter, but it's like, do you know who's gonna listen to your podcast? The people who are also reading Twitter.
Yes.
So it's like you need to bring something else than like reciting news we all read.
I mean, like it's like all the post game pods that come out, and it's like, yeah, you could get the same, you know, 90% of the same thing between someone that's in there and, you know, knows how to record a podcast and watch the whole game live, and someone that, you know, was on Twitter, looked at the box score, watched the 2 or 3 highlights from that game. And once you realize that, it's just like, I don't really care too much about all these pods. Like, there's nothing really going on here.
Well, so do you think it's kind of the market inefficiency too, that like on the way up, Giannis is dunking on Chris Bosh, and like on like the early way up, that like I had more of an appetite to listen to six podcasts talk about how the Bucks have all of a sudden won 8 out of 9 and maybe they'll make the playoffs after they were dead, whatever year that was, 2016.
It was so new.
Right.
And searching for any nugget.
I couldn't get enough of like what is still the same topic, but now it's like I'm going to listen to one of the two big ones and sometime, but like in the off season. But again, like again, if they trade one of the big three tomorrow, you know, not saying which one, yeah, I'll listen to all that stuff. But then we're going to I'm going to listen to six of them. But like Marjan isn't doing it for me.
Really? Do you want me to? I got to give you the Marjan.
Right? No, yeah, I don't. I mean, just as an idea, but give the Marjan take, because that's actually okay. What you want to talk about.
Marjan Beauchamp, right? Freshman year. He's like this phenom. He like dominates, but he's in like this really bad like Division III high school. Like he's just dominating me and Joe, right? So sophomore year, they move to Seattle. Him and his dad get a one bedroom apartment, leave their home, their mom and their brothers at home or whatever. Get this one bedroom apartment in Seattle and play for Brandon Roy, his high school that he's coaching. Brandon Roy, they win the finals, like the state championship. And he's like a bench player because he's a sophomore, and all the players are really good because everyone wants to play for Brandon Roy, right? Brandon Roy leaves there, goes to a different Seattle high school. Marjan follows him there, where he's a starter, and they win state, and he's like a five-star recruit. And then I think Brandon Roy quits, and then Marjan moves high schools again, has like an all right season. I think he's like 27-9-8, and is like a four-star recruit, not a five-star recruit. This is like 2020, right? So he decides, instead of going to college, because of all the moving and stuff, he had like okay grades, I'm pretty sure. But I don't know about that. I heard that once in one podcast. I don't know if that's true. So he goes to this private workout clinic that's like run by a former NBA strength and conditioning coach. And it's all about like drills and working out and lifting and like just like basically getting into the NBA strength program a year early. Right. Cause that's what he thinks his problem is. Like, I can shoot, I can dribble, I'm just weak. So he goes to do that. As he gets there, he's like in San Francisco and COVID hits. So like all the gyms are shut down. He can't go play hoop. Like he can't even play outside because, you know, San Francisco goes crazy. So they shut down all the outdoor courts because it's like high of COVID, which you should. Important note for pandemics. He's stuck in San Francisco in his hotel room, you know, unable to go anywhere. Can't work out. So he gets depressed and sad, goes back home to his hometown. Is sad in COVID, and he's like, oh, I'm quitting basketball, I'm done forever, I can't do this. And his grandma says something like, oh, your grandpa would never quit. And so his friends who are like, they all go to the local community college. They're like, hey, come play basketball with us. We're going to have a small season. You know, we're going to have 12 or 14 games. You can enroll in one class and come play on the team with us. You know, have a good time just playing basketball with your boys. Who doesn't want to do that?
No.
So he joins this league, 30-10-5, has like a 50-point game in overtime that they lose. Like he's just carrying, he's destroying in this Division III college. He destroys. So then he plays. His dad. He knows like weird people. Did you see the Flava Flav was interviewed at Summer League during the Bucks game because he was there watching Marjan. He just knows weird people. Jordan Crawford got him into like the crossover pro-am or whatever, and he played really well.
Yeah,
and
then he had that one.
Jordan Crawford got him a practice, a tryout in front of the guy who ran the G League Ignite. They give him like an offer just as like a whim. They don't think he's going to be good. He becomes probably their best player. Not the coach. Even I watched the interview with the coach. The coach said, "I love Marjan because I never have to run a play for him. He just finds buckets." He was their second leading scorer and their best defender in the G League against, you know, other wannabe pros. And he left high school. Instead of going to college, he decided I needed to lift because I'm weak. This is the perfect pick at 24. 6'6", 7-foot wingspan. That a 5-star recruit that had all the tools that just got like lost in COVID. And he would have been he would have been in a like 2 drafts ago if he had just gone straight to college. That's my Marjan take. He's going to be...
So go ahead. Finish it off. So he's going to be our Kawhi. What is he going to be?
If the Bucks are the Spurs and Giannis is Tim Duncan, he's Kawhi.
Oh, okay.
Jrue Holiday is... is Jrue Holiday Tony Allen? No, you're definitely going to say Chris Middleton's Tony Allen.
No, he's not Tony Allen. Tony Allen...
What is he, Manu? He's Tony one of Allen? The two. If Giannis is Tim Duncan.
He's certainly not Captain Jack. I mean, the problem is they had kind of a rotating cast of dudes.
So obviously what happened here is he said Tony Allen, and it's only clear on re-listening to it that he meant Tony Parker, and we're racking our brains trying to figure out when Tony Allen played for the Spurs, which, you know, makes sense. But that's kind of the... I'll just clean that up right here. By the way, the Bucks added another Antetokounmpo. The quick take is maybe that's not the great idea. The longer take on adding Alex, I think it's Alex, right? Is like it's good for like generally if the Bucks had a culture, and I'm not saying like they don't have, they don't seem at least to me to have a culture of hard work. They have a culture of everybody revolving around what Giannis does, which of course is proper. The idea of having him and a bunch of his brothers on the team to basically do, like, there's a reason Haslam is on the Heat, right? He's there to be like the football defensive coordinator, yell at everybody kind of coach. That's why Haslam's there, to be a representative of Spoelstra, right? And even more so Riley, to be like, to have players who, it reinforces that we take care of our guys, and we've got, like, if Haslam starts a fight in the locker room, it's Riley sanctioned, right? But he can do stuff in a non-official capacity. He's just a coach pretending to be a player. And so Giannis and a bunch of his brothers establishes kind of a nice culture, but then the question is, because Giannis, again, keep saying this, is still learning basketball, how would that culture react to a true Kyrie-level malcontent? Would it work? Like, we really haven't had it. We've had these low pulse guys and these other guys like Jrue, who seems like, what was that quote about? Like, Chris cheats at cards and Drew's the nicest guy on the team or something, or whatever Portis says. I'm paraphrasing, but basically, like, no, Chris doesn't cheat at cards. Chris is cheap, right? Because, of course, if you make $250 million, of course, you're also cheap, right? So, culture-wise, Giannis and his entire family, the Bucks being Giannis Inc., is like a good plan. The implementation of that plan remains an open question. Does that structure... What's the word, like, not creative discontent, competitive discontent or whatever? Is that a culture that is accepting of failure? Or is that a culture that's striving for greatness is the actual question. But yeah, that's why Tony Allen is mentioned here. We just meant Tony Parker.
He's a distressed COVID asset, dude, I'm telling you. It's like the perfect storm of finding like a 5-star recruit at pick 24. It's legit the perfect pick. Like, you need that guy. You need a 7-foot rangy wing who, you know, wants to defend. Who said pre-draft, I see myself as a Herb Jones.
Yeah.
Or like a Mikal Bridges.
He says all the right things.
It's like, oh, this guy gets it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't know. We'll find out. I was promised by Summer League. It looked real good.
Anybody still have any Jordan Wara stock?
I held on to my free shares. I obviously sold at the top. Mm-hmm. When they were tweeting Kevin Durant next to Jordan Wara screenshots, I was like, all right, let me get out and let me take my profits here and just let it ride, you know?
It's not too dissimilar from my Mirren Fader take, which listener may or may not have been edited out when I think better about it tomorrow. But he looks like such a goofball that, like if he was a more serious looking dude, you might be, yeah, third year, here we go, this is going to be the year, you know, kind of thing. But like, did you see, like, I was watching, like, somebody reposted it or something like a month ago of when he crossed over whoever and did, like, literally one of the...
going to bring it up.
One of the funniest reactions.
Bro, that's when I knew he wasn't serious. One of the craziest crossovers I've ever seen, and you mock him like you're clucking, like you're a chicken?
Perfectly.
It's like, dude... Dude, you just ruined that cool play.
Oh no, you made it like,
dude. That's when I knew he wasn't about it.
But like, if there was a movie, and the movie is like Jordan or the crossover, like I don't know if you could replicate the perfect comic timing just enough. Looks to the side, does the tap dance, never breaks stride, does kind of
looks like he's gonna fall over while he's running, but it's like doesn't. Yeah, listen, it was a great bit, but it's like you gotta be like, oh, I'm cool.
He's got a funny face though. That's the thing. Like,
yeah,
like
he's Rashad Vaughn. Those guys are good shooters, but they're too silly for the NBA. They can't be businessmen. Rashad Vaughn should have started a Bucks podcast. He would have been one of the most popular people on NBA Twitter, by the way.
Yeah, probably.
You ever watch his like his interview videos when he was a rookie and stuff? Oh man, that guy is hilarious.
That was the early days of, they didn't call it, did they call it Bucks.com or it was Bucks? It was something else though.
Like it was still, it was something, it was like Milwaukee, but I know what you're talking about. They had like a switch over to like new age, bad design, web design.
Yes, because around the same time, they had Jarrett and Jared getting like waffles or whatever. Like all that production crew.
When they went to Palermo's and made pizzas. Mm. And where are those videos, Joe? How come they don't make those anymore?
John Henson at the movie theater, and they all went to see like Nightcrawler.
Shout out Nick Monroe, dude.
Oh yeah, was that him?
It's probably his fault. No, he's the reason they don't do it anymore, probably. Because he's probably running their social media department, and he sucks.
Is he still there?
Yeah, he runs. I'm pretty sure he tweets like 90% of the time for Giannis. I'm pretty sure he's with Giannis all the time, taking pictures in Greece and stuff.
Really?
Yeah. Unfortunately.
So I feel like I'd be knowing who people are, but clearly, and plus the stuff we said earlier before we hit record, like clearly you really remember this stuff. Like I have like a vague idea of where people are in this kind of universe, but.
Yeah. I mean, it's important to know who those are if you're going to care about Bucks Twitter, but. You know, how it actually works and. Who's tweeting? That's what it used to be about. It used to just be like a community who liked the Bucks, and now it's people trying to use each other for fame.
Yes. And
what is the fame even? It's like, oh, cool.
It's just numbers on a website, dude.
1,000 people that I don't really know.
Yeah.
Kind of
1,000 people like who you'll never know. Yeah. None of them will ever give you money or buy anything from you.
Oh well,
I mean, that's the only thing you can do is sell merch and.
Sometimes you get tickets to Game 7 versus the Nets.
Yeah, sometimes you get tickets to Game 7 versus the Nets, or you make some good friends and they buy you a ticket to Game 3 of the finals. Yeah, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
Sometimes that happens.
Who's the... I don't even want to say this. Who's the Bucks uniform dude? Who's the bearded dude? He looks like Frank Madden's brother.
Like VN Design, that one? I don't know. I was going to say you. You're the guy who cares the most about Bucks uniforms out of all.
No, but like, who's the guy who hates me? That's what I'm saying. Like, I just, when you said that, like, who's the...
Oh, I don't even know. See, this is, you're in deep into uniform Twitter over there. How about this? You asked that I remember so many things, what I remember from the pod. I remember one thing talking to you. I think we talked right when we hired Bud.
You were all over that too, but you're a jump, you're a binary. You were in, like,
yeah, I'm in or out.
You were in on Bud. Both of you guys were.
Sometimes I can be out, but listen, I remember you having you were on for a Bud pod, because I remember saying this, and I think about it all the time. If I regret saying it, there's not a lot of things I regret saying. I think about this. You made me say one of the things I regret. It was we were talking about when Bud got here and got hired, he had Chris and Giannis come to a breakfast to talk about it.
Yes.
And you were trying to convince me that Chris shouldn't go to the breakfast. It should just be Giannis and Bud.
And I was right about that.
Mm-hmm. And I remember yelling something like, the only thing I should be mad about Coach Bud is having Chris there. And I said something like that. Like, I don't even know if, now you got me thinking that maybe he shouldn't even be there or something like that. And now, you know what? I was wrong.
No, you're wrong. Know what? We did.
He should be there.
So we did talk. That's right. So that was after the Celtics series. So we did one more after Bud because that was the Celtics series was Prunty.
We got we did a Bud hired pun.
Right, because right after that, then I made the video with Jabari Parker fading away like Thanos snapped him. And
Joe Hart's best decision.
That was right after that. We used to go back. That was the first thing he did.
Yeah.
That's what we actually used to go on. That's actually what we used to get after. Is
Jabari.
The Jabari thing. The Jabari thing was way bigger than that. And it's like they get Ersan like day one. That seems like Jabari 10 million years ago.
Yeah, Jabari was my first proof of my theory that it doesn't matter how good you are at basketball, it matters about like your brain. Like what your personality is. Because he was really good at basketball. He was just like one of the dumbest people in the NBA.
But here's where...
Like his skills, he couldn't stick around. He didn't lose explosiveness after his two ACLs. You'll agree to that, won't you? He looked just as bouncy. Yeah. The Bucks have the best ACL specialist in the world. One of the best that they hired for him. And he got all. He didn't lose his explosiveness. He can still shoot. He's just like literally an idiot. So he like can't play NBA basketball. It's like not in his head to do it.
Here's where all the accumulated wisdom and because obviously at a certain point I think it's actually kind of smarter to just be like, well, this feels right. This doesn't feel right. And you said that, and it made me think of Kyrie. And. Yeah. I said
one of the greatest basketball players to ever play the game.
But like all spring, I'm like, I've seen this movie too much, but I just assume these guys are going to be professionals on some level, right? Like, so you just you're like, oh, it's February. Like, I've seen it, dude, because I've been through way too many years hating on LeBron in the East. Like, they took every regular season not seriously, and then all of a sudden they like, you know, got their PEDs and got their schedule and got everything right in order in time for the playoffs. And it was just like, I can't believe that Durant and Kyrie and Harden just like never couldn't got it together.
Kyrie is like that Arrested Development meme. Like, you know, it didn't work for them, but it could work for us. What's crazy, dude, this Russ thing is just as crazy. It's like, you're not going to age gracefully. But I mean, on some level, that's how you become the best, is you think you are the best, and you just continue to think that and act like you are, and eventually you become that. That's the magic of humanity. But it, like, eventually time catches up with you, and you gotta, like, have the brain power to be like, oh, I gotta, you know, become a 3-and-D defensive guy. I can't be on ball anymore. I'm, you know, 34, and athleticism's like 90% of my game. I mean, Carmelo Anthony needed a year off to realize he's not going to get 20 post-ups a game. He needs to play defense, you know? That's what's crazy about the NBA. You have to have, like, it's not just about the skill. It's about, like, actually playing and defending and wanting to be the best basketball player.
And so, again, I'll just say I was wrong about Jabari Parker, as I've said throughout the years. But in my defense, I could not have imagined the extent of his galaxy brain. Because, he could have bounced around the league and been, you know, Jamal Crawford type, you know.
I thought he was, that's what he would do. I thought he'd have a 10-15-year career, like averaging like 15 and 5, you know, 12 and 10 a game or something. Like, he was still good. I just never thought he was going to be, you know.
I never thought.
I just thought you needed to just let Giannis, you know, take over the franchise because his personality so clearly is like, can drive a cheat team towards a championship. That's what I look for in young guys. That's why, like, Anthony Edwards, Ja Morant, like, those are those type of dudes who can pick up an entire organization and, like, push it forward into relevancy. That's why they messed up. They should have traded Cat for Kevin Durant and went KD Ant. That's what they should have done.
So, do you feel like it's the agents or the players? Sorry, Joe, to cut you off. On some level, LeBron or, like, the big team hoppers, it would have made sense to go to Milwaukee. It would have made sense to go to any of these small teams. Like, but the, if it's just going to be somewhere in New York, Miami, or the Lakers, and then occasionally the Clippers, like LeBron could have six rings right now. Like, there is a universe where LeBron like went to all the young, all the best youngest teams and just did it three more times.
Yeah,
and it's weird, just but been like a merchant. But like, still, nobody's going to the Timberwolves, and I'm not sure if anyone's going to come to the Bucks. But I think it's going to be Euros. And like, yeah, try hard guys, and I don't think that's changed.
I think as the league progresses in time, there will be a lot of Giannis players.
There'll be a lot less Jabaris, a lot more Giannis's.
Were, you know, 13, 14 when Giannis was like winning two back-to-back MVPs and dunking, and now they're, you know, and then they watched him win 50 in the finals and like be committed to the city, and they saw they saw that whole moment, you know, the whole city committed to this guy, like, you know, they did it all together and it was his team and he established him. I think that's going to drive a lot of guys to not team up anymore.
Well, I mean
that's what
weird.
I always saw is Giannis changing the league that way.
But it's only two guys. I mean, that's, I can certainly argue it the other way, and I think I probably would argue it the other day, but you can argue it's just LeBron and Durant.
There will always be those guys who want to move around and team up. Yeah, there will always be those guys who want to move around and team up, but I think Giannis has established like a different route. And that's all it takes is someone to see it once, and then they'll continue.
Well, Giannis and Steph. Steph, too.
Yeah, but Steph, it's so weird. His teammates are so respected, and Giannis's are so... you know, not. I wonder if that's like a byproduct of them just being in California and like a large market, and that, you know, that Clay
also
and Draymond
four championships,
are so much more
73
respected.
Wins.
Yeah, that's yeah. True. They won their Raptors series because Clay Thompson had an insane Game 6 instead of what happened for us. But yeah, but still, like, I think that's what's different. Like Giannis, Dirk. And the Detroit Pistons are the only three teams in the 2000s to ever win with one All-Star.
Yeah.
I think it was like Ben something for the Pistons, Ben Wallace.
But if you want to argue, and yes, that's accurate. Whatever, and yes, Tony Parker was like second team, third team All-NBA. But you can argue that the accumulated five championships of the Spurs felt a lot like that.
Yeah, like, and I think they had a second All-Stars for. I mean, I didn't look, so it's possible that one of those years it was just Tim Duncan. But I mean, those are some names, dude. The Pistons are like an anomaly where Kobe Bryant like melted down in the playoffs and refused to be a teammate. You know, but sometimes you got to learn that way. You know, Giannis learned that way in the Eastern Conference Finals.
Right.
He's got to trust his teammates more. He even said it. So, you know, to make it to the finals before you learn that, I guess, is pretty good. But Giannis is 1-0, 100% in the finals. So
as you guys being, and we can wrap it up, I guess. I mean, you're tucked up, whatever you want.
Man, I got all night. So it's up to you.
I just woke up.
For you guys who are obviously Chris positive, how much does it bother you? Because it bothers me, I'll just tell you. How much does it bother you that we didn't – this is now the second year out of three – that we didn't really get to see what this team is.
Because of an injury?
Right, because of an injury and then the bubble injury with Giannis. Like, the Heat series was donezo after that anyway. You know, we were 3-0 in the Heat 3 years ago. 21 obviously win it all. And then this year, you know, you can argue we'd beat the Celtics but lose to the Heat. You could argue we'd win it all. You can argue any version of all that. You can argue Steph would have still got us. But, like, nothing is decided by... Nothing is decided by Middleton playing a game and a half, and so we got to go through this whole year again of like, we won a championship, so whatever. But like, what is your feeling like about us not going off on our shield?
I guess I would say that's sports, but yeah, I mean, Giannis played as well as good first 200-150 playoff series, so you can't be mad at that. And what I would say is like. I don't know. I can't be mad at it. That's sports. We won in the other one. What happens in, you know, a year when we're winning? And I would say also in the finals, the Bucks would have made the finals with Chris Middleton, but Giannis versus Steph is a coin flip. You never know who's going to do
it. I really, really. I mean, the Celtics took that team of six, right?
You can't, like, man. You can't. It's sports, man. With Curry out there, you never know. Jrue Holiday has never stopped Steph Curry in his whole career.
We're only 60% to beat the Heat. Because I don't know what Bam. Like, it's still Spoelstra. It's still Spoelstra versus Giannis.
That's true. I don't know what
the Spoelstra versus Giannis numbers are not great.
But I don't think they had anyone. Like, I guess PJ versus Chris would have been fun. I was kind of worried about PJ versus Giannis, to be honest, because Giannis can be too friendly to his friends. And he was going to have to kill PJ Tucker. But I don't know. Dude, Kristaps used to destroy versus us. No, I don't think so. Kristaps used to destroy versus the Bucks because him and Giannis were close. And Giannis, doesn't. I don't know. I was worried about the PJ versus Giannis matchup. I'll say that.
I really think we would have really taken.
Oh, we would have destroyed the Heat. But yeah. I was worried there was going to be a game one where we lose and PJ locks Giannis up and Giannis had to have a moment with himself where he is.
I think Giannis is just different.
I hate
than,
this guy.
You know what you're saying about how he goes too easy on his friends right now. With where Giannis is at, he's just different. He locks in and he's there for the playoffs. He knows.
I agree. He'll do it, but I'm just saying I was worried about that specific thing. Yeah.
But even if you think about Udoka and Spoelstra, both the degree to which everybody was whining about every charge block and how much you'd have to do.
It was disgusting. PJ, I can't believe the NBA I can't believe the NBA didn't find the Celtics. They were whining about the refs. Every post game. Isn't that supposed to be a findable offense talking about the refs and the press?
Well, I thought it was kind of a wonderful moment of kind of propaganda messaging on both sides. Because I don't like Simmons and all those guys. It was a perfect encapsulation of the fan that they could actually fix their mouth to be wow, the Bucks are really getting all the calls that game. What was game two? Or what game was it where Boston got all the calls and it was just ridiculous? And they're just oh, I can't believe this. You know,
they closed 26-0 on free throws or something crazy.
It was something bananas. Yeah. It was it was some kind of record. And then everyone from Boston was shocked that. And I think their messaging kind of carried because it was I think when you have that, I mean, that's the definition of East Coast bias, right? It's if everyone says something.
Yeah, it was really interesting to see how much ESPN is just Boston media. Yeah. It's oh, wow, this. I couldn't listen to Doris Burke because she would not shut up about the Celtics. And it's can we get Marcus back out here?
No, I take it back. The heyday of Bucks Twitter was the Gus Johnson thing.
Oh, dude, I loved Gus Johnson.
I didn't mind
him. Yeah. So many people. Everyone was like, oh, he hypes all the plays. And it's
That's great.
I know. Good. That's why I like him. He makes the games fun. It's not January. You're falling asleep listening to John McLaughlin.
Hey.
Shout out Johnny Mac, one of the greatest.
It was shocking to me how much. Again, fair take. And then this is 2015 or whatever this was, but some people, even now, I mean, even to this day, on Real GM, where obviously I still lurk, even though my account has been eliminated, not that I'm mad. And
I'm only allowed to post. I got my signature and avatar permissions were taken away. I can't check my private messages. I can only post.
What in the world?
And I asked reasonably sober, and he's like, yeah, that's what that guy does. I was like, you can't remove it? I can't change my signature?
It's, here's the thing, and we talked about this before. I don't go on Reddit, I don't go on Facebook, I read Real GM because I think it's smart stuff, but if I'm putting out a video, I need to cover all my bases and put it out 18 places at once, right? And so... Yeah. And they're like, hey, we got to get this thread to 100, blah, blah, blah. And I'm still reading all this. And I'm like, okay, I'll put this video out, right? And immediately he takes it down, right?
Yeah.
He takes it down 30 seconds after I put it.
Do you know why he's mad at me? Why he hates me?
Yes, tell your story. I'm sorry. Why?
Because I used to snipe his post-game threads. I would watch the game, and if they were dribbling out the clock with 6 seconds left or whatever,
you'd
I would
be the first one
thread with the final score so that I was ahead of him, and he wouldn't delete them because they were first. At least he was fair in that way. But it must have made him so mad. And then I did something that broke the rules, and he just, you know, bans me all the time. Anytime I mention it, like, he sees all my posts, I swear.
I got, like, a backseat moderating or something, and then, which just meant I complained about something one time, and then, like, yeah, I came back
I
on
got backseat and moderating.
And it was, like, my whole account is gone, like, all my other posts on the Bulls or whatever, or the 80s or whatever.
Yeah, I can't look up any of my posts. I can't open my account. I literally can only post.
I can't even do that. But
yeah, I mean, at least he lets me post, but I can't do anything. Like, I can't touch any part of my I can't look up all my old posts. Like, they're unsearchable. But I have the numbers still on my profile.
I wasn't really on RealGM, but I try to make an account so that it could be. It is so hard to make an account there, too.
Yeah, and the guy who is the head moderator for that is kind of, he's a great guy, let's put it that way.
It's hilarious how the uniform post is still up, and it's like still my uniform thread or whatever, but it's like, yeah, I've been kicked off for a year and a half.
One of the best places I got to the Bucks owners when Alex Ash won the last series and the Edens bought it, they had they brought all of RealGM to like a game and bought us pizza and like had like pre-game meetings, and you got to talk to all the owners and stuff. Like, they really reached out to that section of, which means the old owners were like, oh, this is the heartbeat of Bucks.
Right.
You know, make sure you reach out to these guys.
Well, again, I didn't feel like, and maybe you remember, I didn't feel like the Thon thing was RealGM. That wasn't on Twitter. Like,
yeah, that's when we lost. That's probably when RealGM lost the Bucks.
When you lost them?
Yeah, when people stopped going on there. Yeah, I mean, I know the guy. I mean, Kurt Leitner, shout out that guy. He paid some kid on Facebook for the yearbooks to prove it, because he was in such a heated debate. So he has the proof. If anyone ever wants to see the Thonmaker proof, I know the guy.
The NBA is so weird because obviously, like, they're overpaying certain players way too much. So it's like, I still believe that Jabari, I don't care, but I believe that Jabari and Thon could be in the league. But it's like any hint of like a bad attitude for these dudes who you don't have to pay. It's like there's a universe where Dante has the Duncan Robinson contract. Just randomly, but like Duncan Robinson has the Duncan Robinson contract. And
what if Dante plays, they win the finals, and he, like, you know, has some moments?
Yeah, because Thon did. Thon certainly did. Thon had two great playoff years. I mean, relative to his usage, Thon had the Raptor series and that, I want to say, yeah, the Celtics series. The Celtics series that we lost, which is the last time that we talked, Chris played great, Giannis played great, Thon played great. And Jabari had one and a half really good games. And, like, we still just couldn't stop them or winning the
Jabari games. Was complaining about minutes after game two of a loss.
Yes. We went down 0-2.
And he was complaining post-game. So about minutes and them wanting to play defense or something. I don't know.
I think we won games 3, 4, and 6, right? We lost the first two and,
Yep. Won all the games at home.
Yeah, everybody did the whole time. Yeah, that's right.
Yep. Almost won on that crazy Chris Middleton three-pointer.
Yeah, except he went 0-for-3 in overtime.
0.6%. See, I don't even know that.
Yeah.
It's all about moments that build up to the final, dude. He hit him when it counted, dude.
Again.
Can't deny that.
Yeah. That's right.
Enough with you. Anything else? Final words, man.
Final words. I will say that I wouldn't be surprised if there's a world where Giannis is like taking vet minimums for the Bucks, and the Bucks have, you know, 20 years of success, and Twitter's going to be impossible to use at that point because it's going to be full of, you know, Packer fans that you know, that there's like a whole section of, like, I'm a Packer fan like that. I was born in 1992, so I've only ever known Brett Favre and Aaron Rodgers as the quarterback. You know, like, I only know excellence. Like, I don't know anything else. So it's like,
I mean, you know yourself.
I would hate those types of fans in 20 years.
Oh, sure.
As crotchety old me. And someone probably explained divorce law to him. and what marriage in America means.
That's my working theory.
Yeah.
Plus his dad. I mean, his dad, he had the bag then, but I mean, his dad died before he really, because it's just play money. It doesn't matter at all. Like, do you really care if you get 270 million or 295 million? Like, no, it doesn't mean anything. Yeah, you know, it means something to the agent and everybody else, but like, what do you
care? Yeah, because for the agent, that's like an extra $500,000. When you're only making a couple million, you're like, oh. 100%. You know, that's why I think Giannis eventually, you know, he's the type of guy who will just take vet mins. He'll go the Dirk Nowitzki route for sure.
I have the opposite read on that. Because he cares about his money so much and he wants to set himself up for and his future generations up, he's not going to. I think he'll take what the most the Bucks will offer him.
Yeah,
but at least he'll just be the Bucks.
You think he would run for governor of Wisconsin?
No.
He shouldn't. Like. Why mess up the? Again, everybody's image eventually gets knocked down anyway. But yeah.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, I don't know.
Giannis wants to dive headfirst into American politics.
Not that I want. No, fuck, he'll probably buy half of Greece.
Yeah.
Maybe he can. Can he become president of Greece? I guess. Do they have a president? I don't even know. Do they still have democracy?
He would still have to jump into politics, and it's like.
Yeah, but he's so uber competitive. He retires from the NBA. What's he gonna do? Go fishing?
Stay in basketball somewhere, I'd assume. Kind of like, I don't know, Tim Duncan.
I want him to buy the Bucks from these idiot owners. But mm-hmm.
That'd be great.
Dude, can you imagine anything worse than Alex Lasser?
Dustin Gotsy, that's the name I was trying to think of.
Dustin. D-Gods.
That's...
Who's
that's,
this guy? Yeah.
That's my nemesis.
No, he was on Twitter. He was a Bucks employee. Does he still work there?
I think so.
I think he retired.
Well, he did as of the drone shots. So 6 months ago. Yes. He did as of all that kind of stuff. I don't know if that's still a
thing.
He's
like, I don't know what he is. He was like the probably lead design or something.
Yeah.
Some made up term like that.
He's the reason uniforms suck and we have the same word marks just recycled over and over, and it still says Milwaukee and Bucks, Milwaukee and Bucks and black, Milwaukee and Bucks and blue, Milwaukee and Bucks and cream.
Like, remember when they were going to make the jerseys Hunter orange?
Oh. Yeah, man.
Disgusting.
That was sick.
That was gross.
That was such a good troll.
Oh, you mean the Gatorade night? Was that also the night where they remember when that was the big thing, the people who do the upside down painting and then the song's over and they turn the painting right side up and it was, you know.
How do they do that? That's so crazy to me. Every time I see it, I'm like, how do you even think to do that?
Shafty's out here watching the halftime show like, oh my god, how do they change outfits that fast?
Okay, what's going I understand trick sewing. Like, I understand that. I understand how the uniform changes work, but they're just like spray painting random lines, then they flip it over and it's like perfect Giannis.
Yeah.
Do you think they have a tracing that you can't see from?
I think just after a while you've done it so many times that you know, because they're like covering it up with little swatches, and like I think after a while you just kind of, they've done it 100 times.
That's impressive to me.
But like,
is Red Panda, has it gone too far? The love for Red Panda?
I don't know, man. It's always impressive.
I mean, if you're watching on League Pass, it's just playing, you know, if you get in Arena Stream. But yeah, I mean,
I talked to my family.
It feels like she's universally loved. Yeah, I talked to my family too. I'm tweeting the whole time.
Exactly. Well, Bucks therapy, RIP? ?
Who knows?
Yeah, we'll see how we feel.
We missed
the
boat.
If we can be bothered. Yeah.
Joe, how many views do you think we'd have if we had done it every week all the way through to the finals?
At least a dozen.
We have done a live pod at the parade.
Probably
and,
2 dozen.
Drawn a crowd.
I'd go up to 30.
30?
No, nah, you know, 100.
You can fill a classroom with 30,
about what we were at. I don't care.
You don't think it would have went crazy?
It would have went crazy.
Sure. Go, we'll see if, I don't know, man.
it's an unknowable thing. Just say yes.
Yeah, I'm dude. Yeah. I'm tuning into 200 view YouTube videos about Marjan Beauchamp because I need Bucks content that's not reporting in my life. I'll probably listen to this.
So free idea for somebody else who's not me. But I also don't understand. And I think it's kind of what we talked about before about just people have to monetize everything.
Yeah.
I don't know why there isn't some dude on YouTube being like, these are the top 10 Bucks plays of last year.
Dude, I know. Making those or making like Chris Middleton season highlights.
Yeah. Cause the Bucks do some of that, but like I would do that. Like I would do that no problem. Like, I mean, that's the thing to do. And again, like I don't put my face on stuff. Not that like the face is like a moneymaker or anything, but it's somebody should do that. That's like the whole bit is like, they're still like, I wish I could like give somebody else $5 to do the stuff that I just want to see. And I don't know why people aren't doing like those little things.
I would think here's another free idea. The Daily Show with Jon Stewart, like at his peak when he was reacting to Fox News, only you're reacting to First Things First and First Take and Undisputed.
So
you're welcome.
Yes, so that would be a version of like you see. I mean, there's million different ones of these where like people react to songs that they've allegedly never heard.
Yeah,
you know, it's like
old producer listens to Kanye West first time. Yeah, I've seen those.
But I feel like
have you ever seen black people react to white comedians?
Yes.
YouTube shows me that stuff all the time. And it's like, who's watching this?
But they're all lying. And this is the thing. This is the thing about, I feel like 80% of them are just lying. Like,
yeah.
Did you see, like, it was also like basically black girls watch, what is it? Unchained Melody from the Righteous Brothers. Yeah. And it's like,
yeah.
And then after one person does it, then 27 people do the same thing. And I'm like, I don't believe none of y'all have heard this.
Yeah. Are there really people going, oh, wow.
They're all doing this, like us. They're all doing the same thing. Everyone is like kind of doing the same thing. And it's like, come on. It'd be like for you white gentlemen. It's like if like Joe is like, wow, what's this song? Sweet Home Alabama. What's this? I don't know. It's kind of cool though, man. Like it's like everybody and their mama's heard Sweet Home Alabama. Like you're not going to have me think that there's like 10 people who haven't been in a coma who haven't heard, you know, are you going to go my way or whatever? And it's just like, but everyone just kind of imitates.
Grandma listens to 8 Mile, you know, Lose Yourself 8 Mile first time. It's like, right. I know she's heard that song before.
But no one's ever like, avoid that song. No one's ever like, it gets to the cook and they're like, oh yeah, I have heard that one. Dad, this is pretty good. Everyone's like, oh wow, pretty good though.
Yeah, they're just faking reactions for children.
Yes, yes. But absolutely. I mean, I think my guy Trey kind of did some of this stuff, but like again, I'm not going to do this. But man, he's got like a radio show. It's like, yeah, do the
yeah, he's killing it. Shout out that guy.
Yeah, do the Stephen A. Smith, rip whatever people. There's certainly enough dumb stuff between Kendrick Perkins and all these guys to do like a hey, here's my 5 minutes. Like I'd watch that.
It would take a special person to sit through all the dumb NBA content and say, these are the 30 seconds I need to pick out for today's episode, you know?
That's me. I find them. Every time I'll find it and be like, oh, man. Hey, you just look at the camera and be like, what the heck? And it's like, boom.
Maybe this idea is for you?
No, dude, I'm way too lazy to do it. I'll just tell people to do it.
Yeah, there's 100 C+ to C- versions of I wonder why people are doing that instead of taking some Giannis video from Greece and playing the exact 38 same seconds that you stole from something else with like some, you know, dub track or whatever, you know, and being like, I woke up crying. I woke up crying at these dunks, you know, King Forever. And you just,
I mean, there's no more like primary sources anymore. Everyone's just taking from everyone. Yeah. Do you think all of the creativity in editing is gone because all of those people were like, you know, our age who came up like, Joe, were you the first one to get on the internet in your household?
No, my dad was on the internet. My dad was out here playing Alpha Centauri.
Okay, your dad's awesome. Anyways, yeah. We get it. But isn't that interesting? In our generation, every household
we get it, Joe. You have a first dad.
Person
we
to get on the internet. Yeah, we get it, Joe.
Sorry, guys.
We
all
get right, it, all right, all right. Video games. You're very loved. We get it.
But I mean, also, like, even if not, like, my brothers and I, we're all the same age. Like, we would have gotten on the internet about the same time anyway.
Okay, but that's the thing, and I'm assuming Shaq. We talked about this a little bit earlier too, and I'm assuming that's kind of where you're going.
Yeah,
younger generations aren't like, wow. I mean, that's kind of how I got going. It's like, yo, I can use this Hans Zimmer song, and as long as I'm not making any money, they'll just let me use this. And like,
yeah,
oh, wow, I can use five of them, and they might take it down in 5 years, but they probably won't.
Like, yeah, are all those editors professionals now? So they're not making like videos in their spare time, that they became like professional editors. So they're doing it at work 8 hours a day, so they don't want to do it for fun. Counter-Strike Source, you know?
Yeah, maybe.
Montage. Not even professional editors. They're just a professional something. And they come home, they're like, I don't care about this hobby I used to care about. So,
like Justin Superbucks,
that's what I meant, yeah.
If it was 10 years ago, he'd have an insane Bucks video out with insane editing like every week. But he, you know, got hired as like a real editor, so he doesn't have, you know, he doesn't want to go home and edit.
That's always been
every time he dips his toes in, he destroys everyone.
Yep.
Because he's the best editor on Buck's Twitter.
Yep.
And if he had been like, you know, in a different time, is he like making these epic Bucks videos? Probably.
I guess the thing is, I don't know for any fan base, where's the upward mobility in it? Because my wife's awesome and she sort of cares, but like, was like, you should just make Cavs videos when LeBron is there. Like, what are you doing making Bucks videos? Make Yankees videos. Make, you know, like, you should be doing this. And even like the couple Packers supercuts I did, like, did better. And she's like, yeah, why aren't you doing that, dummy? Nobody cares about the Bucks. Like, that's, you know, because it's like saying the Sacramento Kings or something. But even with that, like, who's the person in any fan base doing that and just... Who's the name? Is it Marcus's kid in a different way? I mean, who's really doing that?
I mean, the Cavs Anita guy, he kind of took off and did it.
Yeah.
I mean, Frank Madden, Eric Name, they both, you know, took off and became suits.
But that's almost, I mean, that's on the journalism/commentary. Who's doing media? I mean, I guess six and one.
That one, really.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So maybe it's just no way to do it.
National shows doing it, I guess. But I mean, you could establish a Patreon, and you know, all it takes on Patreon is a couple hundred people, and you're making a nice little chunk of change.
By the way,
$10 a week.
By the way, this segment is presented by TetoniaWorld.com. That again, TetoniaWorld.com.
Make sure you buy some Kanye West merch.
Can you think of one person that you know? That would actually do it. That would start a Patreon and just put out books content nonstop. That's their full-time job.
If there was a super team,
yeah,
who's likable enough to do it?
Oh, it's going to be honest.
No. I mean, amongst Bucks Twitter or amongst the jabronis.
Who could actually make a good podcast?
Who could actually make money? Like just any version you can put yourself on it, whatever else. But if there was just a dream team version to do something, you start your own company, you start your own thing.
I mean, Frank doesn't care.
No, it wouldn't be Frank. He makes too much money. I think he's like a lawyer or something. I would say probably me, Joe, and a rotating cast of.
It couldn't be me.
You're doing that now.
Characters, but you'd need Joe. You'd need Joe. Joe's an important foil. People don't appreciate Joe. Over there chomping on
these
his
Cheetos.
Yeah. The guy chewing into the mic. People don't appreciate his audio quality.
I'm sorry.
People don't appreciate the guy who has the great chomping audio
quality. These are veggie fries?
Yeah, whatever. But Joe's important. So if me, Joe, and if we had just interviewed people and we had built up, I think it could have been done. Nowadays, I don't know. Most people on there stink. Diesel could probably host a pretty good podcast.
I don't think he cares.
Yeah. Nihilist could probably do it just off this year.
I think Nihilist could do it, actually.
Yeah, Nihilist could host one. probably me, Joe, and Nihilus, but Nihilus cares too much about being PR. That's why he could do it.
I just...
me and Joe could only do Patreon. We could never have ads.
I don't think I'd pay for anyone. I wouldn't pay for you, Shafty.
I wouldn't pay for anyone either, but Nihilus could get people to pay for him if he made a podcast. Maybe if it was like Nihilus, Nathan Marzione, and like Snell Season.
Dog, you could pay me not to listen to that, but
dude, that's
probably me.
I'd rather go deaf than listen to that. But that has a chance of like actually making money because they have like fan bases.
That doesn't mean
as sad as that is.
That doesn't mean anybody wants to listen to that though. I mean, you could be right.
The real answer is like Marcus Johnson and like me. Do you know he followed me on Twitter? Do you know he followed me on Twitter the day he made Twitter, and he still follows me?
Sorry, Joe.
Through thick and thin.
Sorry, Joe.
Hey, man. I'll edit that one. I'll do it for you. You get him on the podcast. I'll just listen, then I'll edit.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Because you'd need someone who like knows what they're saying, you know?
No, I guess
I don't know anything anymore.
And the reason I brought that up randomly, but not to shade anybody else, although I guess I shaded everyone. But I just don't think that. I guess the point I'm making is I don't think that combination really exists anymore.
No, they're all gone. Remember Bucksketball? You mentioned quitting right before the best time to be a Bucks fan.
I might have done that podcast, Shep. I might have done that podcast. Yes, I do remember.
Jeremy.
I
do remember that. Those guys were cool.
Bucksball's great.
At least we had. Remember there? How was there more Bucks websites back then than there are now? When was the last time you went on Brew Hoop?
That's a great point.
But see, first of all, I get along with all those guys. I like all those guys. I'm sure at least a couple of them would be mad I'm talking to you guys. But then also, like, you know what Brew Hoop is, if I'm making a video, just keeping it real, if I'm making a video and I need to remember weird, like, Ersan ate at some hibachi restaurant kind of stuff, like if I go through the Monday morning quarterback, whatever, Monday morning roundup, like, it'll be weird, like, hey, somebody did a Converse ad and somebody did this and here's some article. And you're not going to, like, I don't take notes because I don't plan on making Bucks videos. And then you get real hyped for the playoff run and I'm like, oh, maybe I should make it. But who remembers what happened February 10th? So that's why I go to Brew Hoop. But I still check a little.
It's a good, I will agree. It is a good
archive of sorts.
Archive. Yeah, thanks. See, that's what you need Joe for. It's a great archive. But am I going to read it like every day like I used to when it was Steve Von Horn and Frank Madden? No. Like, I used to wait for their posts because they were actually like smart and informed and, you know, you felt like you were learning reading their posts. Like, I felt like I came away like, oh, I know more about the Bucks than I did before. And now it's like, oh, I'm reading my Twitter timeline from 4 hours ago.
Right. Which is why I'll be on Twitter when I'm 70, because again, it's like you can read a book or you can open it up and just find out to the moment every little thing that happened. Do you know about, and I won't pay for this either, which actually, do you know, have you messed with Ethan Strauss at all? Do you know who that is?
Yeah.
I don't know how
I feel about that guy.
Go on.
I don't know. He feels, the vibes are off on that guy. He feels like he's in it for the money. That's the kind of vibe I get from him. Like the fame and like being the guy who's like, you know, I'm the writer who goes against the norms. You know, that's like the kind of vibe I get from him. Like, not that he's writing stories he wants to write about and cares about and like information he wants to put out, but he's like getting off on the idea that he's, you know, he's the bad boy journalist.
Oh, is he that much? So maybe I don't understand the personality, the persona enough.
I guess that's how I I feel like he is the guy to report like the NBA viewership is down. Mm-hmm. You know, the NBA doesn't want you to know, but I'm the one reporting. Like, that's how I take like his posts.
You're probably right. On that part, I hadn't thought about that. To me, what he is the guy who's like, they don't make dope Nike commercials like they used to anymore. And by the way, but and again, I'm going to be in the tank for anybody who's like, I work for David Stern and Silver sucks. David Stern would have never allowed this. Like he became kind of that. But again, I don't pay for him. I don't pay for anything. So it's like if I'm not paying for Ethan Strauss and I'm not paying for any of this other stuff, I'm just not going to pay for content.
A microcosm of that is of why Adam Silver sucks is giving the G League rings, which is a good idea, and then that same year removing the playoff tournament from the G League rings. Like all the teams were playing pretty hard and like together because they're like, oh crud, we could win some rings. And then like if you watch the last Bucks Summer League game, it was like a consolation third fourth game, and they like all the first four games they were like playing team basketball, they were passing. That's why Marjan shined, because he's like, he's not a cook, you know, cook him. You don't yell cook him to Marjan, right?
Right.
You know,
you
pass it to him while he's open. And so that's why he was shined. And then in the last game, it was like, you know, everyone's like, oh, this game doesn't matter. I'm just going to put up points. And they lost and they look like, you know, the Bucks do every year. Just a bunch of selfish, you know, summer league guards that you have to round out the roster with because you don't really have that many young guys.
So about an hour ago, it was announced that Bill Russell had passed. I'm in no position to eulogize Mr. Russell. I do find it ironic or interesting or pick an adjective that we're talking about Jabari Parker this episode, but Westbrook. How come Westbrook is still a loser? How come Harden is still a loser? And, you know, so much of this podcast is talking about the things that matter in basketball and things that don't matter. And their cultural reasons and reasons of era that some people are winners and some people are not. But the passing of Mr. Russell puts in contrast a time period where winning was the only way to matter. That was like the object of the game because nobody was getting rich. And for a select few people throughout history, like the winning is what's mattered. And I don't think it also cannot be overstated the David and Goliath aspect of his relationship with Wilt. It's kind of, it's like Muhammad Ali would have been great anyway, but Ali had to take out Foreman, right? Everybody needs a dragon to slay in their era. Everybody needs an antagonist. It's Batman and the Joker. Like, you need an antagonist for your true greatness to be elevated. And there's, if I think about it a little bit more, there's probably more I would like to say. I want to put out a video this summer, this late summer into the fall, kind of about all these generational questions. The disrespect of calling people who lived in a more difficult time period plumbers, electricians, and firemen, and all these kind of things. And I'd like to, before I stop doing this completely, to pen a love letter to basketball. And then I think I'll probably have said just about all I need to say about anything. But in so much as this just took place, I'm going to read an excerpt from the Book of Basketball where Simmons had Russell number 2. He says, Bill Bradley summed up number 6's career nicely in Life on the Run. Russell never got as much recognition as he deserved. Race was one reason. During the early 60s, no black artist got adequate publicity. Then, too, perhaps pro basketball didn't have the national following sufficient to merit enormous press attention. Most probably, I think he was overlooked because his greatest accomplishments were in the game's subtleties and in seeking to guarantee team victory in a society which tends to focus attention on the individual achiever. And then Simmons goes on to say, Bradley missed one crucial part of the Russell experience. Russell was obsessed with winning. A handful of NBA players were wired with overcompetitive DNA, but Russell and Jordan stand alone in their singular devotion to prevailing over and over and over again.
the single greatest Russell statistic other than 11 rings? Russell's teams finished 10-0 in deciding Game 5s or deciding Game 7s. The single greatest Jordan statistic? The Bulls lost their first three games of the 1990-1991 season, but after that they never again lost three in a row with Jordan wearing a Chicago uniform. Anyone can win two or three titles. Russell and Jordan defended their turf again and again, and beyond that they measured themselves by those defenses. They searched for every possible edge, even if they went about it in different ways. Russell embraced his biggest foe, befriended him, and allowed him to shine in meaningless moments, even as he was secretly ripping out the guy's heart without him realizing it. Jordan settled for tearing out hearts and holding them up like the dude from Temple of Doom. He wanted his rivals to know it was happening. That's what he loved most, not the winning as much as the vanquishing. Russell just loved winning. Russell's teammates treasured and revered him. They sing his praises to this day. They maintain that you cannot place a statistical value on what he accomplished on a daily basis. Code words like sacrifice and teammate and unselfish pop up every time he's remembered. He's the only player who realized every component of basketball as a team game. Not just playing, but coming together as a group, respecting one another and embracing common goals, from the first game of his career to the last. In George Plimpton's Sportsman of the Year piece about Russell in 1968, he passed along a fascinating anecdote from Boston trainer Joy DeLory that explained Russell to a T. The big concern he has is for the Celtics. Nothing else really matters. That's why he seems so cold often to the press and the fans. They're not Celtics. 11 rings, 5 MVPs, 11-time All-NBA, 12-time All-Star. Number 2 all times in rebounding per game and total rebounds. Perhaps the greatest defensive player in NBA history. Bill Russell, 1934 to 2022.